Conference tournaments are tipping off. Bubble teams are making their final push. Top seeds are preparing for what they hope is a long run. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $4 on an underdog. Win $256 if they win. It's that simple. That's bet $4 on an underdog in select college basketball games, and if they win, you collect $256. The bank is open. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code ART19 when you sign up to turn $4 into $256 if the underdog of your choosing pulls off the upset. That's code ART19. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Must be 21 or older. Virginia only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call the Virginia Problem Gambling Helpline at 888-532-3500.
We are celebrating Workplace Conflict Awareness Month.
That's called the show.
Yeah. We work it out on the air.
Most of the conflict happens right here.
Right on the air. Right. We don't fight off the air.
No, once we turn off the mics, we're done.
Yeah. And we don't care. We've had battles before. Craig and I yell at each other all the time. All of a sudden, the mics will go off, and we won't even say anything about what we just talked about. I'll ask him a personal question about his life or something. I go, yeah, we'll talk. Then we turn the mics back on. You suck.
Morning,
I've
Frank.
Learned that being up Morning, here for Ralph. A while. There's some segments where I'm like, well, that got a little tense. And afterwards, the guy's like, oh.
You realize that. All the years you've been, probably early on, you probably thought about that. Todd and I have done it.
What's
Craig
the
and Todd did it earlier this week about the dead Packer thing. And I knew that was going to, as soon as the mics were off, nobody cared. we barely care when it was on. Well, there's been real tension on the show in 20-some years. Believe me, I know it. I've felt it. And I've been involved in it, obviously. But when the mics go off, you realize, boy, that was stupid, and everybody talks about something else.
Yeah, then the tension just goes away.
Because it didn't matter.
Right.
It didn't matter.
Until the next dead Packer discussion.
I love that you saw that, Nick. I'm sure you had to see that, you know?
Yeah.
I think I've seen guests here over the past, like a comedian that we don't know that well sitting there, and we start ripping on each other. And I see him back off like, oh, these guys are
whoa.
Yeah, they go like, uh-oh. Am I going to be able to grab some ribs during the break? Is that going to be weird?
They expect us to continue the argument into the commercial break.
We don't even remember the argument.
And we don't.
We don't remember it.
As soon as that music starts playing, everybody's memory just gets wiped.
Yep.
We go to commercial and nobody knows what happened.
Those radio shows where people argue and really hate each other, they don't last because they don't want to be around each other.
I don't know how you could do that.
I don't know either. I don't, especially if you disagree on fundamental aspects of morality. And good thing we don't have any of that. You know what I mean? We don't have those differences. You know, we don't. And in the past, you know, we couldn't have handled, you know, a racist bigot. A racist bigot wouldn't work on the show. Because it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Even a slightly racist bigot, like, you know, oh, he's kind of racist. Well, he would be slightly not, and he'd be unemployed.
Well, even just somebody you don't like. Like, I don't understand how that works either.
I don't
the
either.
Whole thing's just based on a gigantic lie.
But if you are looking for a racist bigot on the radio.
Oh, there's plenty.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah, flip on the AM dial today somewhere.
Up and down the AM dial.
Yeah. They'll be raging about woke corporatism.
Exactly.
Yeah, buy your Pepsi and check it out.
Yeah.
Teenager in New York's going to have to pay off 43 traffic tickets. Led police on a chase at speeds up to 150 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
The chase started about an hour north of Manhattan. State trooper clocked a car doing 117.
A teenager?
Yeah.
God, I can't imagine.
Well, they're the ones that drive the best.
No,
well, they think they drive
the That's
best.
There you go.
I have a nightmare. My son driving 117, he would hit something immediately.
This kid was doing 117 in a 65, weaving in and out of traffic. The 18-year-old pulled into a park and ride lot, tried to hide. The trooper walked toward his car. The teen took off again.
Hang on.
Conference tournaments are tipping off. Bubble teams are making their final push. Top seeds are preparing for what they hope is a long run. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $4 on an underdog. Win $256 if they win. It's that simple. That's bet $4 on an underdog in select college basketball games, and if they win, you collect $256. The bank is open. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code ART19 when you sign up to turn $4 into $256 if the underdog of your choosing pulls off the upset. That's code ART19. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Must be 21 or older. Virginia only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call the Virginia Problem Gambling Helpline at 888-532-3500.
Dan Foreman, Carter Duryea.
You're Carter Duryea?
Yes, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
The Carter Duryea that's come in to run ad sales?
That's correct.
How old are you?
I'm 26 years old.
26? You're my new boss.
I guess so.
What kind of experience do you have in ad sales?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Dan. Not much.
How much?
None.
That's not much.
I'm a fast learner, Dan.
That's a great movie. That's from 2004, a movie called In Good Company, of course, with Dennis Quaid and Topher Grace. And Topher's on the phone with us.
Home Economics premieres tomorrow night.
Yeah, it looks funny.
On ABC. We saw the trailer. Looks fun.
Thanks for joining us, Topher. Appreciate it.
Well, that was a deep cut, guys.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great movie. I know it's been a while for you, but I enjoyed that flick. Did you like that movie? I like that movie.
Well, it was tough to hear me say that I was 26 years old.
Oh. I never thought about it that way. Topher, love your stuff, really do, man. Since you came across the screen and in that '70s show, and you're talking to a couple guys that grew up in the late '70s, so you guys nailed that show. But and everything you've done since then too. Congratulations. I've seen the previews, and you mind me saying this? A lot of times, I'm always wary of sitcoms on network TV, because sometimes I don't think they're written that well. This looks really good. I mean,
you and me both.
Okay,
I don't do them that often.
No, you don't. And what? So
a lot of them seem to lack an edge.
I'm guaranteeing you. How many of you have been offered since that '70s show?
Oh, I don't even know. I kind of told my agents not to. It just wasn't something I was really interested in, not because I have anything against them. I actually had the time of my life doing that '70s show.
Right.
But when I was done, I kind of, I thought, gosh, there's so much I want to do. I'm still in my mid-20s, and I want to be in, big blockbusters and tiny, micro-budget films, and I want to play good guys, but I want to play bad guys.
Right.
And I just wanted to try everything. The '70s show was my first acting gig, so I really wanted to try lots of stuff. And
you did.
And then I think I had played David Duke in Black Klansman, and then I played on Black Mirror, I played a kind of an evil tech wizard. And
right.
I went I think I was only getting roles. I was getting offered only white supremacists and neo-Nazis. And I thought, wait a second, maybe it's...
I wanted to ask you about
that.
Go a little
bit back towards where I came from.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Yeah, because you're coming back to a likable guy, and before playing racist, you were a likable guy.
When you have to play.
Well, I mean, I like to think I was likable the whole time, but that's sometimes that makes these characters kind of more evil if they're even charismatic.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I definitely. My mom is thrilled that I decided to chill out for a second.
But when you have to play a guy who really exists, a person in real life, how do you approach that differently than, say, a fictitious character?
Did you meet David Duke?
Sure. No, no, good Lord, no.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. But
no.
I had played characters that existed in this Cate Blanchett movie called Truth. I played a real person in Too Big to Fail. But those were people that, although the people involved with those situations knew the person, they weren't kind of nationally famous. So it was really daunting getting that role. And this was a Spike Lee movie, and Jordan Peele was producing it. And I, you felt a real responsibility at that time, too. Charlottesville had just happened. So I did just the worst kind of 2 months of research. It was reading David Duke's autobiography, which is horrific, and kind of his Mein Kampf. And,
his Mein Kampf.
Then I watched a lot of footage of his. Yeah. And, you know, it's like you want to do more than an, it's not like a sketch on SNL. It's like a you want to do a real, you know, you don't just want to do an impression. You want to do a good
portrayal. Yeah.
Of them.
You're so, doing a deep dive.
Yeah, and it was just really hard to get in that mindset. And yeah, you know, to be honest, those movies are great when they come out, but they're so heavy and so much work when you're making them. And this has been such a pleasure, especially over this last year, to be working on something so light and fun.
Topher Grace, the show's called Home Economics, starts tomorrow night on ABC.
Did you hear if David Duke liked your portrayal?
What did I hear from David? The only thing I know about David Duke is that my wife said he was tweeting about me once, and I went, what a crazy industry that I work in. I sort of never thought I'd hear that sentence.
Well, David Duke would have liked that you're white. He'd like that part of it, yeah.
That part.
So Home Economics tomorrow night on ABC. I like the synopsis. Quickly, why don't you tell us what it's about?
It's about three siblings who are grown up now, which is already kind of a difficult relationship to navigate, just being grown-up siblings.
Right.
And then on top of it, one of the siblings is in the 1%. One of them's, you know, firmly middle class, and one of them's really struggling to get by. But they all live in the same, kind of proximity to each other in San Francisco, and they love each other a lot. So they're pulled apart by these financial issues. They're kind of brought together by the fact that they still have a lot of love for each other.
Well, that happens. Yeah. That happens in a lot of families.
And you're the middle class guy?
Yeah, you're the and.
I'm smack dab in the middle, but it's a great concept, and it was a really funny script when I read it. The thing I love about it is this just kind of dream team cast, because these siblings all have spouses too, and there's five of us, and I've been on a dream team like this before.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens so rarely where the chemistry really comes together, but we have so much fun. And on top of it, you know, we got to work during this pandemic, which was hard to do, but we had that feeling that that the show makes you want to have, which is we kind of had that feeling of family and being together and being connected, and you know, it's so important right now.
Yeah, I'm not BSing, because I saw the previews of the show, not knowing we were going to be able to interview you ahead of time. I saw the previews maybe a month ago, and I said, that looks really good. I mean, I like you a lot. I recognize all the other people on the show. I said, I'm going to give this thing a shot, so I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you, because it does look really good.
Yeah, so. Even in a 3-minute trailer, the chemistry was evident, so, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too.
It's like dating with these cast members. Look, sometimes you get together and it's a bunch of great actors and it just doesn't have that chemistry.
Right.
And that's what acting's all about. It's, you know, you're lying, basically, anyway. Yeah. But when it happens, you have to act less, you know, when you really feel that connection.
Topher Grace, the show is called Home Economics tomorrow night on ABC. Topher, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate all your work, and good luck on the new show.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me. Thanks for bringing me back with that clip. I haven't thought about that movie in a while.
I love that movie. I mean, obviously, did you like it? I think it's a great flick.
That would be actually my favorite movie I ever did, because Paul Weitz, who wrote that, is just a genius, it's just such a little gem, that movie.
And you weren't a racist in that one either.
Yeah.
You're a pretty cool guy.
You didn't have to play a racist.
you know, in most of them, I'm actually not a racist. just that one.
Thank you, Topher. Appreciate it, man.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. Play along.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
In most of them.
You know, I had forgotten.
I forgot he played David Duke. I got to watch that.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. I've seen him play bad guys before. A couple of other ones you mentioned, I think I've seen. But the movie is called
Black Klansman.
I got it on my DVR.
It's really good.
But he's David Duke in that, right?
Yeah, and John David Washington and Adam Driver. Yeah. I mean, it's a great cast, and it's a really good movie.
Yeah, when you're prepping for a role like that.
Most of them are not racist.
Let me get that out there. Most of the time.
You got to go to some really dark places. That's got to affect you personally.
And I'm sure you're saying stuff that you would never say out loud anyway.
A lot.
Right? Or not want to say out loud.
A lot.
All right. So you've seen his role in that.
Yeah, I did. I watched the
movie. He's got to be a racist in that, right?
Very much so.
And bombs, that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
All right. He's a dumbass, Stan, like his old man would say on That 70s Show.
To quote Red.
Yeah. To quote Red, dumbass, racist.